53, all we like sheep have gone astray. All of us means all of us. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. So all of our sin, we've all turned away from God. We've all been an enemy of God at one time or another in our life. And you know what God did? The Father laid our iniquity on the Son. And like those lost sheep, we can't clean ourselves. And like those sheep, we can't find the path when we have turned to our own way. We need somebody to show us the paths of righteousness. Now, if we don't like the thought of being referred to as sheep, I don't think most of us do, remember that the great shepherd, remember Jesus Christ? The Bible says he was a lamb. He was the sacrificial lamb. When he came walking into Jerusalem, came walking up to John the Baptist when he was getting baptized, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." Now, Jesus had things said about him that you've never had said about you. Jesus had things done to him that you've never had done to you. You've never been nailed to a cross. You've never had spikes driven through your feet and through your hands. You've never had somebody whip your back so hard that that pulled the flesh right off it. You've never had anybody pluck the beard out of your face like Jesus did. None of that stuff's ever happened to any of us here. But Jesus had it happen to him. And you know something? You never will, most likely. None of you are ever going to go to the cross and die for somebody's sin on the cross. That's not going to happen to you. But he is the Lamb of God. He was slain from the foundation of the world. He bled, and he died, and he paid our sin debt, which is a debt that we could not pay. The great shepherd became a lamb, yielding to angry men as they did to him as they pleased. And may God help us to think of what Jesus did in yielding himself for us. Now I want to go back to Psalm 23 and read the first three verses. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me. The Lord maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth. The Lord leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth. The Lord restoreth my soul. The Lord leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. You notice that last phrase, he leads us into the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I want to say just a few things. First of all, the shepherd has a plan for the sheep. You know why? He knows our needs. He knows our needs better than we know our needs. His life is given to the sheep because sheep, and that's what the Bible likens us to, sheep need a shepherd. We really ought not to try to run our own life. The struggle is allowing God to lead us. Sometimes we say, oh, I'm going to do this and I want to do that, but we need to allow God to lead us. Admitting that we're lost, we've lost our own way, admitting that we need our shepherd to lead, we need Jesus to lead us. We know, for those of us that are saved here, we know our sins are forgiven. We know that Jesus paid our sin debt on the cross. We've asked him to forgive our sin, and by faith we have received him as our personal Lord and Savior. But too often, many are not allowing God to lead their life, to guide their life, to direct their life. The shepherd says he leads the sheep, and the sheep says, he leadeth me. Can you honestly say in your own heart and in your own life, he leadeth me? He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. That's what he does for me. Now, Psalm 58, I want you to turn there. I said Psalm. Isaiah 58, verse 11. I'm going to drop that bottle before tonight's over. Psalm 58, verse 11. I want you to look at it. I'm sorry. Isaiah 58, verse 11. I'll have you so confused you won't know where I'm going. Isaiah 58, verse 11. And the Lord shall guide thee continually. Praise the Lord. He'll guide you continually and satisfy thy soul in drought and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. Now, there are four things in that verse that the Lord does as he guides us. First of all, it says he satisfies our soul in drought. When you can't find satisfaction, let Jesus satisfy your soul. Amen. There is a deep longing. There is a void in the hearts of people, in all of us, that cannot be filled and cannot be satisfied without the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can fill that void. We are to find him as Savior. And when we find him as our Savior, you know what he does when we yield to him? He satisfies our soul. He satisfies my longing, as the song says, like nothing else can do. Not only that, it said there, he makes fat our bones. You know what we do? We choose the ruts of life ourselves. And we choose those ruts because they're kind of like a safe place for us. You know, we're comfortable there. We've been there a long time, and we're familiar places, and we don't want to get out of that rut because we've been there so many times. We don't need to trust God anymore because of the familiarity that we have in the rut. We live in this rut if we can. But that's not what God might choose for you. The shepherd chooses paths of righteousness. Now, you don't have to. Just go back to that passage we read in Proverbs chapter 8. Now, it is often applied to Jesus, but literally speaking, in a correct interpretation of the scripture, it's not talking about Jesus. It's actually talking about wisdom. And you'll notice how wisdom cries out. But why does God lead in the way of righteousness? Look at verse 20. I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment. But why does God lead in the paths of righteousness? Now, notice verse 21. Now watch what it says, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. God says, I'm going to lead you in a path that I choose for you, the plan that I have for you, and you must walk by faith, and you must follow me. And all along the path, God places little treasures here and little treasure there. And I don't know what it might be. It might be different things, but wonderful things, things of joy. Things that are real blessings. People are always trying to make God's will happen. You can't make God's will happen. Half of you to the time, you don't even know what God's doing. He's sovereign and he's in control, looking for things. But God wants us to follow him in the paths of righteousness. You know what we do? We spend too much time trying to find things, manipulate circumstances and situations, and too little emphasis on following God. But I want this and I want that. Listen, just follow God. God will take care of it. He leads us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Now, I tell you, I could stand here tonight and probably go on for about 40 minutes on different ways to apply that. You just need to trust God and you just need to follow the Lord in the things of your life. If you don't have a healthy bone, he says it makes our bones fat. If you don't have healthy bones, you don't have a healthy body. In the bone marrow of our bones, there is a factory, some kind of a factory system in that bone marrow that is something for our blood and all of that stuff. And if that marrow is not healthy, your body is not healthy. And as we allow the Lord to lead us, he keeps us healthy and he keeps us strong and he keeps us spiritually strong. Another thing that it said there in that passage in Isaiah 58, we're like a watered garden. You can do everything perfect. If you're a gardener, you know this. You can go out there, you can till that ground, you can fertilize that ground, you've got it all fit nice, you can plant that garden, and if it doesn't get any water, you know what it's going to produce? Nothing. Not a thing. Not one thing will grow. You're to hunger and thirst, Jesus said, after righteousness. And when you hunger and thirst after righteousness, and you allow him to satisfy your soul, you know what happens to you? You grow. He'll grow you. And God's water, in a spiritual sense, is always available. There's another song we sing. Drinking at the fount of living water, happy now am I. My soul is satisfied. That's what the songwriter said. Fourthly, it says there in that same passage in Isaiah, he'll guide us. Psalm 31 and verse 3 says this, for thou art my rock and fortress, therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. That was a prayer that the psalmist prayed. He is our rock and he is our fortress, and he longs to lead us for his glory. Now, the Bible is full of stories of God leading his people. I think all of us know how God led his people out of the bondage of Egypt. He led them to the Red Sea, And there they were against the Red Sea there, and behind them was Pharaoh's army. Now, do you think about, I want you to think about that. Do you think they would have chosen that route to go to where they would have been pushed right up against the Red Sea? I don't think so. Why did God lead them that way? Exodus 14, that's where the story is, and verse 13 answers that question. Moses said unto the people, remember he lift up a staff? Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians, if you have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The choice really isn't ours to make. It says to follow and let him lead us. He leads them this way so he could prove himself to them and be glorified in the path that he had chosen for them. But the Israelites wouldn't have chosen that path. But that's the path God took them on. You know, sometimes in our path of life, God doesn't always take you down the path you want to walk. But he just takes you there. God wants to lead us in a way where he can prove himself to us and glorify himself through us. God has a plan. Secondly, God has a place. And where is the place according to the psalmist in Psalm 23? It is the path of righteousness. Now, what is it? The sheep walk the same path over and over, and cows do the same thing if you were, because up here we got more cows than we do sheep, although there are a few sheep farmers around. But they walk the same path till they wear it right down and there's no grass in it. And finally, that path or trail becomes a rut. And then the rain comes and the rut gets muddy. And, you know, they've gone to bathroom in it, so you know all that. But anyway, we won't go to details on it. And then what happens is it's kind of yucky. So disease gets in it. And so the shepherd chooses another way, because the path that the sheep choose may be harmful to them. Now, I think we get that. Just follow God. Let him bless and stop trying to force your will on everything and on everybody, and stop trying to find things and follow the Lord. You know, there's another song. A lot of songs when I was preparing just kept coming to my mind. Here's another one. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is what? Follow. That's all I have to do. God knows the way. He knows where it leads. We don't need to know the beginning from the end. We don't need to know where it leads. If you knew where you were headed all the time, life would be kind of boring anyway. All we must do is follow him. And as we walk on these paths of righteousness, he leaves us substance and treasures. Just keep walking. Go to Psalm 5. Just keep walking. Just keep trusting. Just keep following the Lord, and he will lead you in the paths of righteousness. Now let me read one other passage. I actually have a couple passages to read. What time is it? Well, Psalm 5, verse 1. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up. For thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. The foolish shall not stand in the sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing. The Lord will abhor the bloody and the deceitful man. But as for me, I will come into the house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. And then he says this, lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight before my path. He puts us on a path, and he enables us to stay on the path, and we continue on that path in the strength of the Lord. Now, you cannot live a victorious Christian life in your own strength. You can try, but you're not going to do it. I live it through him. We live it through his strength. He puts me on a path, and he expects me to stay there and to trust him for the strength to stay. And if he wants to lead me off the path into a different path, I allow him to do that because I follow. Any of you ever been hiking and got lost? It's like, you know, usually wherever you go hiking, there's a marked trail, and you stay on the trail. You stay on the path. But Faith, you remember when you and Amber, we were hiking up in one of the mountains in the Adirondacks, and you guys, we were coming down, it was almost dark, and you guys got off the path. You went with the teen group, and you got off the path a little bit.
I don't remember that time, but Amber and I went by ourselves once, and that happened.
What, you know what happened to him? I can tell you what happened to him. They got off the path. Ask Amber later, see if she remembers. That's how hikers get lost. You know how we get lost spiritually? We get off the path. You've got to stay on the path of righteousness. I knew it was one of those times you got lost up there. But you got to stay on the path. So he has a plan. He has a place. And he also has a purpose. His plan, he leadeth me. His place is to walk in the paths of righteousness, that the shepherd has a purpose. And you know what the purpose is? For his name's sake. Meaning, for God to be glorified in the way we live, it means for us to praise the Lord and to give him glory in what we do and what we say and how we live our life, and we honor him. Now, let me ask you to turn to one last passage of Scripture. It's in 1 Samuel chapter 17. And it is, I won't read it all, but it is the story of David and Goliath. The Israelites are here. The Philistines are over there. The giant would come out every day and ask if somebody wanted to fight him. Nobody, I'm in 2 Samuel. I said 1 Samuel, didn't I? That nobody really wanted to fight him. He's kind of scary looking and all that stuff. But anyway, David goes to check on his brothers, and he gets up there, and, you know, he kind of got tired of this loudmouth giant coming down and blaspheming God and challenging the people, the men of Israel. And so finally, he said, is there not a cause for somebody to go fight this guy? Saul needed somebody to defeat and to fight and to kill Goliath. So finally, and his brothers weren't happy that he was there, but finally, David said to Saul, I'll do it. So you're in 1 Samuel 17. Go down to verse 33. Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. The servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord hath delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear. He will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. So David says, okay, just go, Saul says. And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put on a helmet of brass and on his head, and he was armed with the coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off. And so all David took with him, skip down to verse 33, I'm sorry, let me read a little bit more. And he took his staff in his hand and chose 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in the shepherd's bag, which he had, even a scrip, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. So all David's got is a slingshot and some stones. This is all, I haven't proven this stuff. You see, keep it here. And I'll just take this. David goes down. He begins to march out to meet the Philistine. Verse 43, and the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day, and David went in, I mean full confidence. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thy head from thee, and I will give thee the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And you know the end of the story, I suppose. David let the sling go, the stone go, hit Goliath between the eyes. Goliath goes down. David goes over, takes his giant sword, cuts his head off, and wins the battle. Now, God wants us to live like that. God wants us to live in such a way and walk in such a way that his name is lifted up. And you know what I fear? I fear that as a whole in Christianity, it's not being done. There is a boatload of liberal Christians who do not honor the Lord and who do not glorify the Lord, and they do their own thing and they live their own life as if it was their own life to live. And the Bible's clear, both in Old Testament and in New Testament, our life belongs to the Lord. I said last passage, I fibbed. Turn to Ezekiel chapter 36. This will be the last one. And if it's not, I'll skip the other ones. How's that? Ezekiel chapter 36, I want you to see how God spoke to the nation Israel. We know that Israel is God's chosen people. In the Old Testament, they were a chosen nation. They are still the apple of his eye. One day God will once again, I don't know when the day will be, but once again he will deal with Israel. But look at verse 16. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, when the house of Israel dwelt in their own land, they defiled it by their own way and by their doings. You see, when you follow your own way, that's what happens. Their way was before me as the uncleanliness of a removed woman. Wherefore I poured my fury upon them for the blood that they had shed upon the land, and for their idols wherewith they had polluted it. And I scattered them among the heathen, and they were dispersed through the countries according to their way, and according to their doings I judged them. And when they had entered into the heathen, whether they went, they profaned my holy name. When they said to them, These are the people of the Lord, and are gone forth out of his land. But I had pity for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the heathen, whether they went. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, Thus saith the Lord God, I do this for your sakes. Not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but look it, but for mine holy name's sake, which ye have profaned among the heathen, whether you went. And I will sanctify my great name, which profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them, and the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. Now, here's what our job is. What do people think of? What do they think about the name of Jesus Christ when they think about you? I mean, what is your testimony to the world? What do you live? What do people think about the name of Jesus by the way you live your life? What does your family think about you and the Lord Jesus Christ by the way you live your life? Uncompromisingly, I would beg every one of us to stand for God, to take a stand for righteousness and godliness and holiness and purity and all of those things that are associated with walking in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And the truth is, this God-rejected, sin-crazed world, we need to stand strong. Why does God allow painful things to happen along our paths, like things that are difficult, things that break us, things that crush us, things that make us weep, so that we may deal with these circumstances? You know, we will learn to trust him for the grace to deal with them in such a way that he will be glorified and he will be honored. And that's what God wants from me, and that's what God wants from you. In these opportunities, we are given an opportunity actually to lift up his name. People can see Jesus in us. You may right now be on a path to lift up his name, to exalt his name and to prove that he is who he says he is for his name's sake. We need to trust him and find the grace we need in every circumstances of life. So there is a plan. It's a path. There is a place. It's the path of righteousness. And there is a purpose. And the purpose is for his name's sake. And so you follow this path, so you end up exactly where God wants you to end up. And God does have a plan where he wants you to be. Now, our Father, I thank you for this psalm. I thank you that every little line in it has meaning, tremendous meaning, really. It is a very personal and very wonderful passage of Scripture. I pray that every person here tonight would do an examination of their own heart. Are they following you? Are they walking in paths of righteousness for your name's sake? Israel profaned your name. They defied your name and defiled your name. And yet I fear that sometimes it even happens in Christianity today. And may it not be said of us that are here tonight. May we uncompromisingly stand strong on the truths of the Holy Scriptures as we know them to be, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let me share just a couple of the missionary letters that we support with you. I actually have quite a few, but I will only share two, maybe three.